Welcome everybody to the Secrets About Men Telesummit, what men wish you knew but will never tell you. I'm Suzanne Oshima and I'm a matchmaker and dating coach at Dream Bachelor and Bachelorette, and I'm also the founder of Single and Stilettos. Today we have on the summit Scott McKay, and I have to tell you ladies, he's one of my favorite experts to interview because he gives it to you straightforward and he's not going to lie to you. He's going to tell you exactly what men think and what they want. So today he's telling you the 5 signs he's falling in love with you. And ladies, I know you all want to know the 5 signs, but before we jump into this, I want to tell you about Scott. So Scott, in the 80s and early 90s, Scott McKay was working with at-risk kids. From there, he built a wildly successful corporate career, meeting with C-level executives, winning top sales awards, and working on billion-dollar projects. But when his difficult divorce ransacked Scott's world, he hit rock bottom. He set out to understand women and find out what attracted them. His results were so powerful that his friends insisted that he reveal his secrets. So in 2005, Scott founded XY Communications, located at deservewhatyouwant.com. 11 years later, Scott is one of the most recognized and effective dating coaches to both men and women on the global stage. Now a 4-time Amazon number one best-selling author, over 400 media outlets have consulted him, including ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, BBC, MTV, Lifetime, Men's Health, and The Wall Street Journal. He travels the world with his wife and fellow dating coach, Emily McKay, while world schooling their 2 youngest kids. They've been to over 100 countries together, run a travel blog podcast called Wing It Worldwide, and are planning to start a safari company in East Africa. Woo! I'm exhausted, Scott. How do you find time to do anything? Do you even sleep?
Outsourcing.
Well, there you go. That's a smart businessman, is to outsource.
I couldn't help, you know, but think, you know, here are all these people. My friends were asking me for, you know, all the secrets on how to get better with women. You're going to be asking me for all these secrets on how to get better with men. And meanwhile, the whole subject here is things men are never going to tell you. So I think I should just shut up and go home. I'm a traitor.
No, yeah, that's why we love you, because you're a traitor and yes, you give the women all these secrets, and that's why you do so well and why you're a number one bestseller on Amazon 4 yeah. times.
Right. Well, the debate tactic here, of course, is, well, that's what people say, that men don't want you to know this. But see, I'm a different kind of guy. I want everybody to know this. I will tell anybody the topics of today's conversation simply for asking, because I believe in them so profoundly. So I guess I'm just different.
Well, good. We like that you're different. And you have to look at it in this way. You're not a traitor. You're actually helping women understand men so that they can get into relationships and get married.
So. Well, see, I think ultimately, that, you know, this whole war between the sexes thing is thought up anyway. It's fictional. You know, all men and women are people. You know, I think anybody who thinks like women are the enemy, I mean, I think Henry Kissinger said one time there'll never be a winner to the war between the sexes because there's too much fraternizing with the enemy.
Yeah.
And former Secretary of State Henry Kissinger said that, and I think it's hilarious.
That's
funny. But, you know, both Emily and I are very pro-men, very pro-women. Obviously, we adore each other. I am so glad God created women. I could just jump for joy. I love women so much. So no worries there. No trading.
Oh, good. And we love you too, because you're going to tell us.
I've heard that before.
The 5 signs he's falling in love with you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So Scott, tell us the first sign.
First of all, it's he moves mountains in his quote unquote busy schedule to spend time with you. Suzanne, anytime someone's so busy to talk to you, I mean, let's put the shoe on the other foot since we're talking mostly to women. I hear from guys and they text a woman and she doesn't text them back. Then she finally texts them and goes, yeah, you know, I'm really sorry. It's just been crazy busy around here. I mean, just, you don't have any idea. Maybe we can go out sometime 3rd week of next month. Look, she's not that into you, okay? I mean, here's what happens. I mean, I know people who are incredibly busy. Like they're like in a picture a doctor who's doing his residency and they're working his ass 120 hours a week. I mean, he meets the woman of his dreams and this huge chasm opens up in his schedule where there never was before. Brinksmanship with the career, doesn't call any of his buddies back, you know, completely forsakes hobbies that he's passionate about, like, and then all of a sudden he just wants to be with her. So I don't care what, you know, there's this big thing about how all this technology has just made us busier. Yeah, yeah. You meet the right person who's actually into you and there's that connection there. Busy is no longer in your vocabulary. That's number one.
That's, and I have to just emphasize that because I also hear a lot of the women out there say to me, oh, well, he must be really busy with his work. Even the guy will say that to her is, I'm really busy with work right now. And I'm like you said, you're not that busy. It's so easy now just to send a text or whatever. I mean, you don't even have to pick up the phone and call somebody anymore.
It's all about priorities.
Yeah, and you're right. Someone will make time because I'll just use myself as an example, putting the opposite shoe on the opposite foot or whatever. Even for me, when I started dating my fiance, I was super busy. I was working 7 days a week and I was working 12-hour days. But when I met him and we started dating, I told him I was busy, but I made time to see him, text him, call him, whatever, even though I was so busy because I really liked him.
I think you just put the stiletto on the other foot.
Oh, there you go. Okay. So what's your second tip?
He wants to introduce you to people he cares about. Let's put it this way. If you're dating someone and he's embarrassed to have you meet his friends, he's a little self-conscious about that relationship at best. Or he's just afraid of looking flaky and weird in front of people he cares about. Now, meanwhile, if he's anxious for his friends to meet you, that means he's trying to install you as part of his world, which sounds really engineerish, but I mean it in a loving way. He knows you'll like them and he knows they'll like you. He probably, and that's, women are more famous for this than men, but yeah, men aren't immune to it. He probably wants to know their opinion of you a little bit. You know, is my head screwed on straight because I'm falling for this woman? You know, head check me here. Meet the parents really quickly. You know, that's probably to get mom off his back. When are my grandkids coming? You know, and then, you know, maybe there's nothing bad going on when he wants you to meet people he cares about. Now, there's one caveat. Let's talk about children. If he still doesn't want you to meet children yet, I mean, I think any single mom out there can understand this. I mean, I think that's more because he also loves his children too.
Right.
So once he not only falls for you, but he's pretty sure this is going somewhere, then there comes a discussion between the two of you about how to introduce children, blah, blah, blah. So children may be the immediate exception, but please don't go overboard and think, oh my God, he won't introduce me to his two, you know, 8-9-year-old kids. I mean, he must be just playing me. Tranquilo, as they say in Mexico, you know, you gotta back off a little bit. And, you know, when it comes down to children, I think a lot of times people are more fastidious about that. And for good reason, you know, cause they're little minds and they miss mommy or what, or daddy or whatever. But, you know, if he's introducing you to people he cares about, work parties, you know, if you're invited to the Christmas party at work, hey, there's only one Christmas party this year for work. Unless there's some crazy party company. If you're going, he's into you. Now, again, you know, here's a little aside here. If you're not getting any weekend time and he only calls you 10 minutes before he wants to meet with you, you're probably not first in line. That's the second one drawn out a little
bit. Does that mean she's a backup?
I wouldn't call it a backup. I would call it not the highest priority.
Okay. I want to ask you something about the introducing to family and friends and the bringing to the company party is because this has come up before for some of my female clients is how doesn't a man need to feel safe and secure that he can bring you somewhere to a company party or to his family and he doesn't have to worry about what's going to come out of your mouth, correct?
Oh my gosh. You know, I always try to drill into men's minds that women are security-seeking creatures. If you can make a woman feel at ease in your presence as opposed to uneasy in your presence, if she thinks you have your best interest, her best interest at heart, if she feels safe and relaxed, wow, that is so huge for a woman. Mm-hmm. It's not much different for a man, although he doesn't need to feel like physically protected by you. Oh my God, it is every man's worst nightmare that you're going to embarrass him in front of his friends, that you're going to flirt with the waiter, he's going to take you to a Christmas party, and you're going to end up going home with his boss. All of that is the nightmare scenario.
Or worse, she has a mouth like a truck driver and starts swearing in front of...
That's happened, yeah. And I've actually had that happen and had people love her and think she was charming for it, but it just was no longer a good fit for me personally. The bottom line there is men need to feel supported when they're in their element. And if a woman tries to take over that element or outshine him or embarrass him or she gets drunk and throws up, you know, anytime, that's what men are insecure about. And rightly so, I think. You know, so if you want to make a man feel safe and protected, do it in a way that's supportive of him. And he will shower you with the masculine version of safety and security as thanks for that.
Exactly. Okay, so what's your third sign?
He talks about the future with you. Now, this might mean, hey, I got a concert to go. I got two concert tickets for middle of next month. You know, circle your calendar. Or let's make plans to go on a drive away, fly away, long weekend together 2 months from now. You know, that's the future, okay? Now, long-term future, if he's talking about marriage, he's talking about white picket fences, and, you know, I can't, you know, he may say something to the effect of, I know already I want to marry you, but let's date and let's make sure. All that is talking about the future. Obviously, the latter part is a lot more indicative of the fact that he really, really likes you. I do think that all of this needs to be tempered by how desperate is this guy. You know, it's funny because, you know, sometimes people think, well, when someone has so many options and they've had so many people they date, it's harder to keep them faithful. Actually, no, it's easier. Because what happens is someone is not desperate and they have many options and they've actively chosen you ladies from a bunch of different women who would theoretically like to be their girlfriend or their future wife, then you know you're doing pretty well. And when he's absolutely head over heels for you, he's not shy about this. You know, you show me a woman who's like, well, I've been dating this guy for 2 years and he still won't marry me. Well, there's something that's an incompatibility there and he just doesn't have any better options right now. A lady once called me and wanted to interview me on the topic of how come women can date a guy for 2 years, then they break up and six weeks later he's engaged. How did that happen? Well, it's a simple matter of compatibility. Now, some women aren't trustworthy. Some women are very negative towards men in general. Mm-hmm. And some women, you know, aren't very feminine or they're very negative and complain a lot. And so that'll make a guy think, you know, maybe there's a better option for me out there. Right. But when a woman represents to a man the good things that men look forward to in women, I think, you know, you don't have to worry about that so much. The last three women I dated and my wife all had a common problem. And I once had a lady interview me also who had written a book that the primary assumption of which was all men are commitment.
Oh, well,
all men are commitment folks.
Let's stereotype all men.
Well, no, it was a projection of her experience onto everybody. Right. You know, it's because, you know, just because it happens, what happens to me is how everybody deals with the world. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, the three women I dated prior to Emily and Emily all had a common problem. They couldn't get past a third date without the guy going to Jared and getting on one knee with a diamond ring. Every guy they dated past the second date goes, oh my God, what am I, stupid? She's my next wife. I've got to get this woman in. They had the exact opposite problem. They didn't have enough time to get to know a guy before he's confronting her with a marriage decision. Mm-hmm. You see, that's the kind of woman you want to be if you want a guy to start talking about the future with you. You know, supportive, feminine, fun-loving, level-headed, actually like men, you know, those things.
Right, and being the best version of yourself so that you attract the right man, right?
We call that deserving what you want around here.
I like that. Okay, well, so what's the fourth sign?
He's curious to learn all he can about you. And that's not to be confused with jealousy and him searching your phone for other boyfriends' phone numbers and asking you where you were. No, he doesn't see you as a sexual conquest. He doesn't see you as someone to fill his empty time. He doesn't see you as a bother. He really wants to hear about that trip to Paris you took 10 years ago. He really wants to know what it was like growing up in suburban Cleveland, Ohio. He wants to hear the poetry you just wrote. Now, you know, there are limits to this, especially over time, right? But that doesn't mean he doesn't love you. But I mean, when he just doesn't care, you know, if he just doesn't want to know, or he's just not curious about anything, he may just be using you for sex, or he may just be conflicted and not have a whole lot of options. It's a lot better a sign when he just can't get enough of you. It's kind of like when guys get into a hobby. You know, guys get into surfing, or they get into motocrossing, or they get into playing guitar. They're just pouring through everything, all the magazines, all the websites. They can't get enough information about that. But if it's something they're not curious about, like trigonometry would be for me, you know, I could go on Wikipedia, get the definition, and move on.
Right.
So if he's really interested in you, he wants to know more about you. That's the nature of men. And I don't think women are any different, by the way. You know, one thing I tell guys is they're like, well, how do I know she's interested? Is she asking you about you? Does she want to know more about you? That's always a good sign.
Well, let me take this a couple steps back for back where on a first date, though. Like, because I've had a lot of clients say this is a problem on a first date, where they go on a first date and all the guy did was talk about himself, and he didn't care about anything that she is doing. What could a woman do on a first date to change that dynamic so that he asks her about herself?
Well, okay. So first of all, some people lack skills. Some people have things they got to work on. Anybody who gets on a first date and just blathers on about themselves trying to impress you doesn't have enough options. They're having a hard time socially. So that's not your fault. Second of all, if they don't let you talk about anything at all. And third of all, you have to understand, if it's a first date, you haven't had time to really fall deeply for each other yet. And sometimes we're doing just what happens when we're nervous. It becomes a nervous reaction just to blather. Mm-hmm. Some people come up when they're nervous. Some people just talk when they're nervous. It takes a level head to look for balance. It takes a level head to even look across the table and read the other person's body language, frankly. Everybody goes on a date thinking the other one's sitting there ready to shoot them down, and everybody's self-conscious, and they don't look up and realize the other person's nervous too. You know, so I think that might be the problem. But here's what I always tell people on first dates, because what I hear from guys, Suzanne, is, I mean, I get a bunch of interview questions. How many women have you slept with? How soon do you want kids? Are you going to make me your girlfriend? It's like, tap the brakes. I mean, the first date is about one thing. One honking goal on the first date.
What?
Do we get along? Do we actually like each other? I remember women would start with, okay, how many? I said, look, you know what? The first date's about having fun. This is not fun. We're not doing that here. We can have some fun and see if we can get to know each other. And importantly, I would say to the woman, you know, I'm a really decent guy with a lot of character. I'm sure you'll love all my answers to all those questions. But by God, let's just see whether we even want a second date first, okay?
That's exactly what I tell my clients. Just go have fun and see if you want to go out on a second date. That's it.
Well, most guys are so much in their heads fearing the loss of this opportunity with this woman. They're like, how do I answer all these questions? Oh my God, what's the right answer to how many women have I slept with? Tell her what I just told you to tell her. Take back some dignity, you know, because, you know, I'll tell you this. If a woman starts asking all those interview questions on a date, little does she know that if he answers them is trying to kowtow to her, she'll still end that date going, well, I don't know. I kind of owned that guy. I'm sort of not feeling it for him. Even if he does answer all the questions, it doesn't matter what the answer to the questions are. It's a failure.
Right.
There's no good answer to how many women have you slept with.
No, exactly. And also, I would say that a lot of women sometimes wonder why they don't get a second date. That's the exact reason. Because the guy's like, okay, I feel like I was interrogated.
Or I'm rushed. Like, you're trying to make me into your boyfriend already. And honey, I don't even know you yet. You know, this is, you know, a common problem. This is not unlike a man trying to reel her into bed on the first date without even getting to know her. I mean, it's offensive. You know,
right.
Like, you feel like you're a means to an end. And that comes back to a lot of what we talk about in terms of people being very narcissistic and selfish in their relationships nowadays, which is what's, I think, a huge part of why relationships don't work anymore. a major pillar of a good relationship is two generous people getting together.
Exactly. So ladies, if you want to get past the first date and then get to the second, third, fourth, fifth, and then you get into the point where he's curious and he starts finding out more and more about you, you know he's really starting to fall for you. So let's get to the fifth sign.
The exclusivity talk is his idea. You're not having to hound this guy. Are you going to make me your girlfriend? Are we ever going to get married? How come, you know, are you dating anybody else? How come you don't ever want to see me on weekends? How come you don't introduce me to everybody else? Well, you know, I knew, even though I was dating other women, when I started dating Emily, it was like, okay, who do I want to see tonight? Well, it's Monday. I think I want to see Emily tonight. I really like her. I just met her. Well, how about Tuesday? Interestingly enough, I'm really still in the mood to see Emily again. Wednesday, Emily. Thursday, Emily. Friday, guess who? Well, all of a sudden, I don't need any other women in my life. You know, and I could have them. I could date multiple women. They're all terrific. I've already alluded to that. They're all wonderful women. You don't get to be the kind of woman who can't get past a third date without a guy wanting to marry you unless you're terrific. So I was dating nothing but terrific women. Emily was just the best one for me, and I knew it. So I tell her, you know, I don't think I need any other women in my life anymore. I would like for you and I to hang out together from now on, just you and us. And I promise I'll take care of your heart. I know what I'm doing. And she just melted. She's like, yes, I'd like that. So and we never have had another boyfriend or girlfriend respectively again. So I wanted exclusivity. I get guys who come to me, Suzanne, they're like, look, I just want to go date around, sow my wild oats. I never want to get married. I get them better with women. I get them to the point where they're attracting women. Fifth or sixth session with me, they're like, I think I met the one. This one's really special. You know, that thing you said about maybe if I meet the right woman, things might change. You might have been right about it. You know, I get that all the time. That's when you know the exclusivity talk is his idea and you don't have to push the envelope. Especially when it just sort of naturally both of you know it's time to happen. Like if both of you decide after the third date, look, I'm just taking my online dating site down. I'm hiding my, you know, I'm hiding my profile, and you don't even have to talk about it. That's when you know you're headed in this right direction to begin.
Yeah, and I have to agree is and Scott, you can speak more to this being a man, which is why I'm doing this whole male series, is because if a man feels like he's backed into a corner of like how you said in the very beginning, why aren't we doing this? Are we going to do this? Or yeah, all these things, the guy's just kind of feeling that, oh God, you're making me do all these things that yeah, I was kind of thinking about it, but now I feel
pressure.
Forced
yeah.
into it, right? Right.
Yeah, that nobody should be trying to get from someone else in a relationship. You know, yeah. Two givers should be together. Now, obviously, if you're a giver, I talk about being an optimistic giver as two harbingers of a wonderful relationship. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, optimistic givers are also brilliant targets for narcissistic manipulators.
Right.
So either you end up with a narcissistic manipulator and you get trampled, or you meet someone who's one of you and you have this wonderful relationship, see? So, I mean, I think that's a caveat. But I think if you want to roll all this up into a nice, neat little package, Suzanne, it comes down to if you're trying to push this thing into working, if you're having to work, a lot of times people are like, oh, relationships are work. Bull crap. The bad relationship is work. Emily and I, you know, we spend time with each other. We do things for each other, but it never feels like work. It's always a joy when she's around. When she's gone, I miss her. We don't have to work at our relationship. That's bad advice that gets handed down, kind of like the 3-second rule for pickup artists. Oh, as soon as you see a woman you're attracted to, you better talk to her within 3 seconds or you'll clam up and wimp out. Yeah, 4 seconds later, her husband comes around the aisle with a box of cereal and throws it in the cart. I mean, you know, 3-second rule cereal. So just like that, you know, everybody's always ever heard, oh, relationships are work. Well, let's scare everybody away from having a great relationship. Nobody wants to go to work, and women don't want to work. Women are interested in playful fun.
Exactly.
And I think this is what it all should be about. So anytime you do what I feel like, I call it pushing it uphill. You know, like I got this woman who won't text me back. She won't talk to me. How do I get her to like me? You're pushing it uphill. Start all over. Be more attractive. Find someone you connect with better.
Right. And would you say because I know every woman's wondering the answer to this question, because your last sign is about it's his idea to become exclusive. if a woman wants to bring it up to a man and she's not pressuring him, but she's just saying, hey, you know, it's come to a certain point. Let's just say they've been dating like 9 months. And she's kind of like, I need to kind of know if we're exclusive or if we're not, because I either are that or I'm going to move on. Is there a way that she can bring it up in a way that doesn't make him go, hey?
Well, there's a variable here that I think we're missing from this conversation. It's how often are you seeing each other?
Well, let's just make it up and say that they're seeing each other pretty often.
Well, 9 months, if they don't, she doesn't know after 9 months break up. If she wants a steady relationship and she wants to head somewhere, it's 9 months later and she doesn't even know whether they're honking exclusive. She's dreaming.
Because he should bring it up.
Well, I mean, if they're not exclusive after 9 months, I don't see where the passion for each other has developed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, you don't get married by default in this life. You don't get married because this is the person who'll put up with me. You don't get a ball and chain
right
in this life. You know, I don't, I think people who are negative towards marriage see it as, you know, a concession. I don't have to be with my wife. I get to be with my wife.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So if you're not, it's like, you know, I bought this Ferrari. Yeah, I think I'll wait a few more months to drive it. Like, why did you buy the Ferrari? And I don't think that's an, I don't think that's an improper analogy. You know, if you're with someone and you're allegedly only with that person, then why won't you make it official? Why don't you want to do something with it?
Exactly.
Now, sometimes people have really serious logistical issues about remarriage, you know, and so sometimes they choose to not tie the knot legally. I understand that. But if you're talking about, why won't you at least freaking tell me you're not seeing other women anymore after 9 months when I'm left hanging and twisting in the wind? You're not going to be his steady girlfriend. Now, let's reel it all back. Notwithstanding 9 months, let's say he's quiet or he's a little shy, or you sense, anytime you sense that this is getting serious, you can ask him, you know, either what are your goals for your dating life right now, or you know, where does our relationship stand? Not that I'm pressuring you, I'm just curious to know. That's perfectly okay, especially if it's not on the first date and you're not just hammering him. That's anything that's a legitimate question. Like, my wife is not a jealous woman, okay? So if I go to the gas station and fill my truck up with gas and come home and it takes 15 minutes, she's not going to say, where have you been? Have you been out with that other woman? I know you have another woman. You know, she's not going to do that.
Right.
But if I go on like a Don Draper bender for a week and I come on with lipstick all over me, you know, and, you know, I look like Dean Martin after, you know, the Jerry Lewis telethon, she has a reason to wonder where I've been.
Exactly.
I didn't call, I didn't write, and I'm just gone. That's different.
Exactly.
See, I think sometimes I think that there's no gray area here. People think that. So, you know, no, you don't want to hammer this guy about whether he's going to marry you after a first date. But, you know, if you're going on a few dates and, you know, you haven't pushed the exclusivity issue, and maybe you both have said to each other, I don't jump into things really quickly. Let's see where this is going. And after a couple of months, it's going. You know, you might want to say, hey, you know, one thing we haven't talked about is where our relationship stands and where we're going with this. And if he balks, that's a bad sign.
Yeah.
You know, he should at least be willing to tell you.
Yeah. Oh,
I'm still not, nothing's really changed. I'm still not feeling, you know, but if it goes on for the better part of a year, Suzanne, good grief, you know.
Oh God, move on.
Yeah. And I mean, now this is why, now I mentioned the whole distance thing. We assumed that people were close in, you know, just for the sake of people out there who may be like, well, what about me? I live, you know, 6 hours away from this guy or in a different state. This is why I don't really try to help people get into long distance relationships. Just today I had a live coaching call here in town with a guy who's like, you know, I think the women are prettier in Arizona than they are here where I live in this small town, Texas. Maybe I'll start getting on Match and meeting women in Arizona. Well, then now you're 1,000 miles away from these people on purpose. Why are you doing that? That's not, you know, you're still going to have a long distance. You're only going to be able to say, well, I could go back and forth. No problem. You're not going to go back and forth after work every day.
Right.
You're just here once a month. Then it takes, you know, especially when it becomes almost like a vacation. You're not really living each other's lives together a little bit. You know, not that you have to cohabit. Emily and I didn't, but we were joined at the hip constantly. We got to know each other. We did things together that were normal life, not feeling like I was specially visiting you, so we have to fill the next 48 hours with fun stuff. That's an artificial life. So, you know, it takes a lot longer, maybe than 9 months, to even get to the point where you're thinking, okay, I'll marry you.
Right.
You know, that is exceptional, but that's why I tend not to recommend long-distance relationships if you can help it.
Yeah. It's not to say that they can't work at all, but it's like you said, it works always better when you're in the same city.
Well, if you can control not getting into one, that's good. It's like my wife always says, you bet you can, you can control who you fall in love with. Like, you know, there's another bad old worn out dating advice. You can't help who you fall in love with. The hell you can't. As soon as you find, have someone in your life who's addicted or negative or, you know, mentally incompetent or who just, I don't know, they have a gambling problem, whatever it is that's going to ruin your life, you can tell that person to skedaddle right before, while the feelings are still this big.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, same kind of thing, you know.
Exactly. Well, these have been some, I love all your five signs, and I know the ladies did too. And ladies, can you see why I asked Scott to be on the summit? I love it.
They're all legit.
They really are.
From a man's perspective, I think they're all legit. And I don't think these are things that men won't tell you. I think that men want you to know this about them.
Yeah, and honestly, I can speak from my own experience. All the tips that you gave are exactly the signs that I saw with my fiance, every single one of them. And so Scott is like spot on, not only with myself, I've seen it with other women. So these have been great. So
sounds
Scott,
good.
I know you have a free gift for the ladies. So tell the ladies what this awesome free gift is.
Well, I think you've heard enough from me. I think you need to hear from my wife, Emily, and she's precious and adorable. And she's got a full length audio program called How to Take Control of Your Dating Life. And that's really what we're talking about. You know, are you settling? Are you putting up with things you shouldn't be putting up with? Or can you step up and have that courage to say to a man, you know, I just don't think we're connecting, or where do we stand? You know, when the time is right, no jealousy, no insecurity, you know, taking control, feeling like you have options. Because if you feel like you have options, then you feel like you have control. And, you know, anytime I hear a woman say, oh, men have all the control, there's a man on the other side going, oh, women have to make all the decisions. And they're always the people who can't get the attention of the people they really desire on the other side of the ledger. They never think about the people who aren't desirable on the other side of the ledger. They only think about the people they want. So what you have to do is realize you're here right now and then get to the point where everybody's desirable. And instead of, you know, how can I stop chasing women and get them to chase me instead? Nobody's supposed to be chasing anybody.
Yeah.
For example, I know it's like you with your fiance, Emily, and I chose each other. We're both choosers. This is what this audio will do for you. It's tremendous. You're going to love it. I sound like a presidential candidate. It's huge.
It's big. It's going to be big.
It's going to be really big.
But I'll just add this, just to tell your wife, Emily, who I have actually never met or interviewed. I mean, just ladies, on the sheer fact that he told you at the beginning of this interview that his wife, Emily, when he first started dating her, had these problems of men wanting to
marry her. High quality
problems. Yeah. Of men wanting to marry her after the third date. Well, obviously, she was doing everything right. She knows what she's talking about. So go get the free gift. All you have to do is click on the link below to go get this free gift. It'll be amazing. And both Scott and Emily are awesome.
But there's more.
Oh, more? Oh,
I also have a report from her called 10 Signs He's Ready to Marry You, which elaborates more on the exact thing we were talking about today. Not just is he in love with you, but now he's ready to take that next step and marry you. And then there's also a book that I wrote that I think is the only book of its kind ever written, you see, because there's a lot of books on how to get somebody back after they break up with you. But what if you kind of are ready to put an end to this relationship and you want to do it with a little bit of less drama and as little awkwardness as possible? I've written the book on how to do that, how to sort out your own dating life like that. And it's called How to Deal with Breakups. You'll get that for free also. When you opt into Emily's newsletter, which is always full of activity, there's also a red button on that page. Actually, I think it's a pink button on that page at the top right. Click that, and you can talk to both Emily and or I for 25 minutes for free. And what you see is what you get. We're just as much fun one-on-one as we are on interviews like this.
Yeah, and ladies, as you can see, Scott will be very straightforward with you. He's not going to tell you what you want to hear. He's going to tell you what you need to hear.
But you'll know I care.
Exactly. Well, and that's what we all do. I mean, this is why we do this, is because we care and we're going to give you the straightforward advice.
But good coaches do.
Well, awesome, Scott. Thank you so much for participating in the Secrets About Men Telesummit. I am so excited. These have been some really great tips.
And they're no longer secrets.
I know. So
run it open.
I know. Awesome. Thank you so much, Scott.
Thank you, Suzanne.